Oh, where could Tom Scallon be? The man's probably sleeping, it's past 7:30. We got a guest host, Willie Nelson, could it be? His last name is Nelson, but his first name is actually Lee.
Welcome back to Talk of the Walk. This is episode 79, Green Jacket. I am Paul Patterson.
And I'm guest host Lee Nelson.
That's it?
That's all I got.
Shoe expert?
Yes. Shoe expert extraordinaire.
I like the ad there. I can't believe you.
Yeah, I forgot. Well, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks. That's true. Jake Brown, original music. Billy Bishop, original artwork. Tyler Stanley. Social media. Yeah, I'm coming. I'm going to circle back to that one here in just a second. Jill Martin, fact checking and marketing. Jeff Gravy. So we're all on the same page. Part of the reason why we took 2 weeks was I sent a few of our more loyal listeners a question about, would you rather us be on a regular schedule and the chance of somebody other than you or Scallon being on as the guest host or the host, in your case, the guest host. Or is it better that one of a combination of us three, two of us three are on and we go maybe every other week or we skip a week because we're busy or whatever. And it was, I thought it was going to be 100% one way, but it was a little bit more consistent host over consistent schedule. So that's the reason why it was hard to get everybody together, especially in the spring last week. You know, you had a Booster Club meeting. I had a concert going on, so we ended up taking the week off.
Spring is tough.
Yeah, especially right now with all the rescheduling that's going on. You know, in my time, which we'll talk about that here at the end, I don't remember us playing on Wednesday, and we had events scheduled today. Other than state events being on a Wednesday, we had events. Obviously, they got canceled because of the rain, but we had events scheduled for today. We never picked Wednesday, ever. It's bizarre.
Oh, it's crazy though, because we play golf on Wednesday all the time, and like
nobody... But that's during the day.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So like on Wednesday, you just move an event up, which you can when it comes to tennis and golf, because you're not in the school, you know, using that space, you can do it a little differently. So we also have I think next Wednesday we have a rescheduled tennis meet as well. It's just there's no other days to put them.
Running out of time in the spring, especially the way that cancellations are running. Watch update. I don't know if you remember this or not, but when I first started the month of April, I needed 43 minutes a day to complete my April challenge.
Are you done?
I now need 33 minutes a day to complete my challenge. So I've been pretty consistent with being active throughout the month of April. So pretty excited about that. Cole Hopkins, Jeff Gravy, we are at 9,981 listens for the podcast. 9,981. So a couple of things. Number one, as we all have talked about and heard, right? Our marketing group is going to work on t-shirts for that 10,000 listen, and that's coming this episode. It'll happen. And then two, we're going to make a change when it comes to social media. I talked to Cole Hopkins today, and we're going to create a couple of new social media accounts and see if we can't be a little bit more active. One of the things that I would like to do with him is maybe send him our questions prior to the show happening, so that he's got them and he can get those out, and we can maybe do a little poll throughout. And I don't know what he's going to do. He's got to decide how he's going to handle and what platforms we're going to be on. But that is, that's a couple of the changes and things that are coming our way. So that's where we're at with all that. Ready for questions or not?
Always ready for questions.
Okay. So these questions are not related to one another, but these are random thoughts in my head. Okay. First question. Do you suppose animals ever think, you've got to be kidding me when it comes to the weather, like snow on Sunday?
Animals.
Do you ever think they have that? Like a robin sitting in the tree. Do you have robin ever look up and say, are you serious right now? It is snowing. It's supposed to be 75 degrees.
Yeah, I think they definitely do. They're not that far from our thinking. They know what time of year it is.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not building their nests in January while it's snowing. They're now building their nests in April while it's snowing.
It is, I don't know. I was just singing that the other day when it was snowing and measurable snow on Easter. Are they ever sitting around and thinking to themselves, what in the world?
Yeah, and those big animals, you know, they sleep during this snow time.
Yes, we do.
They probably think it's like the apocalypse.
Let's say that was the first question. Second question, when will cash be obsolete? So I went to Fairway the other day, and they had no change above a $5 bill. Couldn't give me a 10, couldn't give me a 20, nothing above a 5. So that got me to thinking, at what point in time will cash be obsolete, and the only thing you'll be able to do is a card?
I'm thinking of it from like the school setting. I know we would love to go all digital ticketing, but man, now that these ticketing companies have caught on, it becomes a lot more expensive to sell somebody an online ticket. So then you have these extra charges. Who's going to pay the charges? You know, and if we're talking about a $5 ticket that turns into $6 or whatever now, who's going to foot that bill? I mean, I don't really want to charge our fans an extra dollar all the time. But there's definitely some events where it makes a lot of sense for us as far as getting people in and out. You know, we're going to do football and track next year as our online ticketing. I don't even think we'll offer online ticketing at the other events. It gets so expensive. So I think until everyone gets used to having extra fees on top of what they're already paying from a high school athletic standpoint, like maybe there's going to be more of a hybrid option. But I would say in stores, I think it's been trending that way for a long time. But I definitely think COVID sped up the process for everybody.
Sure. How about we interview the 15 to 25 year olds right now, and how many of them have cash?
Boy, yeah, I'm one of them, mostly because I lost.
But I said 15 to 25 year olds.
I know, but I'm older than that, and I don't have cash. I lost my debit card in Arizona when I went there in October, and then I just never ordered it again. I just canceled it. I never ordered one again.
So you have cash now?
No, I just use a credit card.
Oh, credit card. So you don't pay out of your. I thought when you said you lost your debit card that meant you then had cash as opposed to paying straight out of your checking account.
No, I just, that was the only way I had access to cash was my debit card. And now I don't have that. So I just use a card for everything.
Okay. Well, and I would imagine that obviously the younger you are, the greater the chances that you don't have cash. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, I know this, I don't think this makes it explicit, but I think drug deals are even done.
Venmo.
Using like cash apps now, you know. So like, I mean, once you don't have to like put the whatever they put in their hand, like a rolled up 10 or whatever it is in their hand and make the exchange, they just send a request on Venmo.
Okay, could that come back to get you though? I mean, is that traceable?
I'm guessing you could obviously trace the transactions. I don't know if you can necessarily say what it's for.
Okay.
But I've actually heard that with high school kids lately, because all that stuff, you know, they don't make it private, and then everyone can see that they're all of a sudden all these same denominations are being paid to this one person. Like, it looks kind of fishy.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's just what I've heard.
Okay. Well, hey, that's good information for our listeners. Very good. Okay, are you ready for the next question? Third and final question. Can you shrink clothes more than once? Like, can I take my giant 3X sweatshirt, wash it, dry it, and it shrinks And then can I wash it and dry it and have it shrink again, and wash it and dry it and have it shrink again? Or is there a certain limit of number of times that fabric will shrink?
Yeah, I would guess there's a limit. You know, it can only get so small. But maybe you're trying to justify like not hitting any of your goals for a few months, and you're like, wow, my clothes just keep shrinking. Like, what is going on? Like, clearly they're shrinking multiple times. That's definitely an issue I have here.
Well, so,
I'm still wearing the same shirts, like from, like, I still have some high school shirts I still wear.
You look the same.
They aren't shrinking, and I've washed and dried them a lot.
Okay. That helps me. Now, I also, when you think back to like the first Lethal Weapon, when they meet Leo Getz, maybe it is Lethal. No, it's Lethal Weapon 2, where they meet Leo Getz and he shrinks Riggs's red long sleeve button down shirt, where he holds it, he puts his arms out, and it, you know, comes halfway down his forearm. So could Leo Getz wash that again and get it to shrink even more or not? That's just thinking about that.
They should create a dryer that helps make the clothes bigger after they shrink.
Yes. an enlarger.
Yes.
As far as that goes. I got you. Okay. Got a confession. Are you ready?
Yep.
I love Cadbury mini eggs.
Oh.
You ever had one?
Probably not.
Pure chocolate.
I don't like chocolate.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Pure chocolate. I don't know why I asked you that. Pure chocolate with a hard candy shell on the outside. Delightful.
Your head has a thick candy shell.
That's very true, too.
Sorry, I was thinking Tommy Boy after the whole clothes shrinking thing, too, with the fat guy in a little coat.
Oh, yeah.
And then you busted the
candy shell
out.
Don't you do it.
What's happening?
He's a big dumb animal, isn't he, folks? Are you in the confessional?
Yeah, I'm going to hop in the confessional.
I like it.
I like deviled eggs.
Oh, yeah.
That's the eggs.
I remember like. That. We talked about that on the podcast about you want deviled eggs at every family meal.
Made them.
And
made
holiday
this
meal.
Weekend. Yep, I made them this weekend.
When you did?
Yeah.
Because you had a birthday party and Easter.
Yep.
Or a birthday dinner.
Yeah.
You call it a party at 16?
Well, so Taylor's birthday is today, officially.
Did you get together for it at Nate's?
On Sunday, because Landry's birthday, her little sister, was on Saturday. So there was a couple birthdays in there, and then Easter on Sunday. So yeah, we did get together.
Okay.
So depending on which party I was bringing the deviled eggs for, the Easter or the birthday, it might seem a little odd. I mean, I guess if I brought deviled eggs to Taylor's birthday party, that's odd. But I think you have to, if you're going to call it a party, you have to have deviled eggs there.
But I mean, okay. So to be honest with you, if you show up with deviled eggs anywhere and people know you well enough, is it really odd?
No, probably not.
Yeah, I would say not. You show up to Jimmy's house, who's never met you, and you bring deviled eggs. Might be a little weird.
Yeah, I think that Cadbury should have like a deviled egg chocolate version for the Easter exclusive.
Write them in. Maybe they'll come up with it. You never know.
I think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else confessional-wise?
Besides that, this spring weather has scheduling stuff is kind of fun. Like, I think scheduling is one of my favorite parts of this job, but rescheduling is the worst. So yeah, this spring has been, it's been tough.
The hard part right now is that the rescheduling isn't, it's not usually one at a time. It's usually two, four, or six at a time, where you're rescheduling two tennis, two soccer, not very much soccer, but in two track and obviously one golf, but.
And it's really hard to reschedule track. It just did. they're already running a couple times a week, maybe three. You try to throw another one in later in the year. It just gets really tough, especially when you're talking before Drake relays.
Correct.
When people are just trying to get on the track. And then, like, is it worth it to reschedule it after that time? You know, I mean, are you going to get anything out of it? Adding just another meet, to, especially when somebody's trying to perform their best conference, district, state meet. Like, it's just tough.
There is a lot more thought and strategy into rescheduling track than the rest of them, because of the two big things that take place. You know, you've got maybe, is it halfway? Is Drake halfway?
Not really. It's over. 60%. I mean, especially when the year starts, you know, they start running those indoor meets in March, and then Drake is towards the end of, I mean, Drake is less than a month from the state meet.
So you're 75% into your season.
Yeah.
And then you have conference, and then you have your state qualifying meet. So you've got, I mean, that's three fairly big things where not every sport is set up that way, where you have that.
Yeah. And obviously the multiple teams that are at a track meet is much difficult to reschedule than just one opponent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's have fun.
Yeah.
Make memories. That's what I should tell you to do. Make memories when it comes to that stuff.
Every day.
We are on to feedback. Trevor Tompkins starts us off. Holy smokes. I'm back and caught up and binge listened 5 episodes over the past couple of days. Thank you for helping us get to 9,981 listens. Appreciate that. As I've been busy with a large project at work. However, binging makes it hard to provide feedback as it becomes too lengthy, and I'm not going to do that to you and the next show again. I'll try to commit to staying caught up. Thank you, Trevor. When can shoes be replaced? I'm not too hard on shoes as far as wearing them out on the bottom and tend to keep them for years because of this. I would say that when I can't get the fabric material to look fairly presentable anymore, even by washing them, it's time. Based on our master closet, my wife would say it's time to replace a pair of shoes when she sees another pair she likes. It's a shot at Michelle.
Truth.
How long to wear a sweatshirt? Wow. Probably not the guy to ask, as you'll soon find out, but I have two standards that apply here. If I wore it outside, it could be at least a 2-day wear if it didn't include work of any kind. However, now that I work from home, if I only wear the sweatshirt inside at my desk, I've seen sweatshirts get at least 3 days, possibly more, but I don't wear them consecutively as I have them in a rotation, which is why I occasionally lose track of the 3-day standard. Always wear undershirts beneath my sweatshirts and think it's unnecessary to wash every time, which also leads to more laundry work. Bulky sweatshirts limit the amount of loads you can get done if you wash every time. The way I look at it, I'm sacrificing for the family. Please note my wife and kids do not agree with my logic in any way, shape, or form. Cole Hopkins. Sorry, did you say something? Cole Hopkins, sweatshirts got to go in the washer after 3 to 4 days. I don't like getting new shoes, so I'll buy new ones when the current pair become undeniably tattered. I sincerely hope Casey's perseveres against the new wave of Quick Stars in Iowa. One time I've eaten at a Quick Star, I consumed the worst chicken sandwich I ever had in my life. And he for surely is a homie. So there's no way that he would stray from Casey's ever. Schmitz, he is
what?
What?
He listened?
Yeah. Okay, Brandon Schmitz, because I know you're listening. He likes to play the game of, oh, I don't listen to you guys anymore. So, you know, whatever his excuses are. And at the end of the day, he listens. He listens. He's so much of a listener that I considered him to be one of our most loyal listeners. And I sent him the question about whether or not he would be better with consistent hosts or a consistent schedule. So what do you think about that?
That anyway, shocks me.
He washes his sweatshirts after every wear. He doesn't care. And then two, shoes are purchased when they are brand new. I mean, sorry.
Huh? Of course they are.
Worn out. He purchases them when they're worn out. What his definition of worn out is, I do not know. Okay, now I'm trying to, I got to get Jake Brown and I must apparently text a lot with one another. So I am trying to go back.
Yeah, you guys are in the same room.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we can talk about what we text back and forth.
Oh.
in the room.
Let's get this thing explicit.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What day did we record? What day did we record? April 6th.
Man, I don't be a time where we need a sponsor.
Yeah, you could go ahead and read that. Okay, I can't find his text message that he sent to me. Did he send it to both of us, maybe? I don't know. Mm-mm. Anyway, Tim Clay, he went to, he of course went through Twitter. And so I am officially labeled, oh wait, listening to the new episode, I have many thoughts. Thanks for thinking of me. I'll get something written up later. And he then says, so I am officially labeled by Casey's as a VIPL, very important pizza lover, and got invited to a celebration of VIPLs / marketing focus group a few years ago because I used their app so much. Not all that was pizza. I'd order one of their fantastic sub sandwiches about once a week for lunch. I've got to say, it disappoints me as some brands modernize and lose the little details that made them unique. I'm glad we still got the old Casey's logos here in town because Casey's, Wendy's, et cetera, look more sleek, but less familiar. Casey's losing the pizza box tops is a disappointment to me too. But that is a rant for another day. I still love Casey's and the niches. One dude's thoughts, just wanted to chime in. Another interesting logo evolution is to look at Pepsi. So that was him. And then of course, okay, here we go. Jake Brown. If I'm not sweating in it and wearing it only at home, then 2 to 3 weeks for his sweatshirts. And no way Scallon does laundry every time if he wants his sweatshirts washed every time. He claims that just is not the case for Tom. He's calling Tom a liar, basically, is what it boils down to. Then we have Dennis Barra and his thoughts. And of course, he was another one of the loyal listeners as far as that goes. Okay, so this is a long one. First, let me start off with Casey's feedback, lounging sweatshirt. I'll be honest, I'm pretty sure I've gone a couple weeks now, not saying that I wore it every day, just saying it's gone a couple weeks before washing it. Shoes, probably not good for your feet. If you change 3 to 4 different pairs of shoes on a regular basis, and probably the thing I like to buy the least, I hate shoe shopping. You never just go in and pick out a pair, and I hate how expensive they are. Logo. I have not seen or heard the reason for Norwalk's logo change, but this Norwalk grad is not happy about it. Yeah, sure. And with a spear through it is not the coolest or most intimidating thing, but it's what we have. To answer your question. Oh, so that was then he was getting into.
Well, to correct, it's what you had.
True. True. We don't have it anymore. That is accurate. You are accurate. Okay. This is Brock Sweckle. Fun pod. I'll wear a lounge hoodie multiple days without washing. Assuming I'm just sitting around the house in it. If any actual activity is done, I'll generally wash it. Nobody wants to be the stinky kid. Nelly is the shoe expert, so I'll leave that to him. But I do frequently buy shoes as I have become somewhat of a sneakerhead. I agree with whoever said changing logos appearance is all about branding and selling. I don't think anyone ever rebrands unless at the end of the day, it will make them more money. Even if they are being forced or pressured by outside forces, they're going to rebrand in a way that makes them the most money. I don't generally have a problem with it unless it changes the product or service that I use. Those are my thoughts. Again, love having all three of you on. That was Brock. Twackle, and that's all, unless you had some. Do you have any?
No.
Feedback, no feedback. Okay, we're going to move on to high school sports. I got to be honest with you. I have not heard, and this is just from the Norwalk side, I have not heard one word since their first meet or match rugby. I have no idea how rugby is doing. Haven't heard a thing. Boys and girls tennis having a rough time getting meets in. I know that our girls are doing fairly well. The boys, I think the boys have been even less than the girls as far as what they've gotten in. Track still running strong, both our boys and our girls. And then girls soccer undefeated. And boys soccer now has won, what have they won, 3 in a row? No, 2 in a row. They won Saturday against Sioux City North, and then they won last night against Hill Christian. So that's it's a little bit of an update. And girls golf, I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen any updates on girls golf either. Not a very good high school sports update for a high school sports podcast. Great job out of me.
Yeah, the spring is probably the toughest in terms of keeping track of all the different records and that thing. You know, like for me, it's, I just try to keep track of when we have a home event so that we make sure that we are ready to have it. And, you know, the track just consumes so much of my time, you know, when you're running track meets, because they are so much work and require so many volunteers. It feels like you're always reaching out about the next track meet and the next track meet. And I feel bad, but I know that that means that we're leaving other sports out as far as the, you know, just being present with what they're doing. I try to talk to the coaches when I can, but as far as like keeping track of everything, it's just really a tough time of the year, you know. And, you know, for us, we've been fortunate where we were supposed to host three track meets up until this point. And we have, we rescheduled one and it worked, and it was a different field than what we had originally planned. We host four middle school meets, two high school meets. So we've already hosted two middle school and a high school. And then actually we host high school girls tomorrow, which is Thursday, middle school girls on Friday, and then middle school boys on Monday. So we go Thursday, Friday, Monday of track meets. Ooh. So, and there's our six, you know, assuming that we get them all in, but it just feels like you're always thinking about a track meet, you know, even when you get the day of, when you have all that other stuff, hopefully set up, you are then going to the track to get that all ready. You've got to get the heat sheets done. And then all of a sudden the track meet starts, and then you're kind of consumed with doing that. And then, you know, you're just thinking about the next one. So it's just a tough season in general to keep up with, you know.
I don't know if people, I mean, unless you are behind the scenes, and when I say behind the scenes, I mean in charge of setting up who is running what event and where you need a helper and where you need a somebody that knows what they're doing. That track spreadsheet is absolutely mind-boggling, how much it takes to get a track meet running. It's unreal.
Yeah. And I don't think people understand when a track meet is run well. They notice because it gets done at a good time, but like you really notice if a track meet is not run well, and then you're sitting there and it feels like you're spend more time not watching track than you are watching track. So
a good track meet's like a good referee.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah.
You ready for but hopefully we can just get some more events done when they're supposed to be done for the next month. That would be a perfect world.
Supposed to be really nice on Saturday, right? As far as temperature goes.
And tomorrow, I think tomorrow is going to be the nicest.
Okay, good.
This day, not the warmest, but the nicest as far as, you know, a pretty nice temperature, I think mid 60s, like your 10 to 15 mile an hour wind, which is, you know, fairly common. All the time in Iowa. But then Friday, Saturday are going to be warmer, I think. I know Friday for sure is warmer. And I think Saturday's in that mix too. But I think both of them then get in the 20 to, I think the last I saw, Saturday was supposed to have a 26 mile an hour wind. That's windy.
Warmer. I would rather deal with a warm day and windy as opposed to a cold day and windy.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
Or a cold, rainy day in windy. Whew. So we're gonna transition into our non-sponsor, the pimento cheese sandwich. I mean, if we're gonna call this the Green Jacket, how could we not have the pimento cheese sandwich as our non-sponsor?
I mean, really, you could go any of the concessions at the Masters.
But isn't the pimento cheese the like yep. the?
Yeah, they, you know, the they rave about the concessions at the Masters because
they're so
of
cheap.
Yes, exactly. Where, you know, I went to the PGA Championship last year, and I'm pretty sure I saw two hot dogs and a beer purchase for $32.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No. I mean, I can tell you the beers were $13 a can. So
I know because I was an avid two-putt podcast listener, not that matters or it happens anymore. But I was an avid listener of that. And I remember Jason talking about the food. You could, for $10, you could be full at the Masters. However, if you wanted anything else, if you wanted a ball marker, if you wanted a polo or a jacket or a hat, you may have to take out a small loan to pay for it, because that's where they get you.
And not only that, but they'll then ship it to your house for you. So it's almost like so convenient to just buy a bunch of stuff, because you don't have to carry it around the whole time. You just get it sent back. Like, yeah, I've heard that too. Like, that's where they really get you.
And you know where you heard it. You heard it at the same time I did. Actually, heard it a little before I did, because then I listened to the post. Yeah. But Jason shared that with us on an old episode of Two Putt Pot.
Have you ever had pimento cheese?
No, I have not.
Me either.
If I ever make it to the Masters, I will.
Is it like a cold sandwich, or is it like?
It sure looked like it. Based on the picture on the internet, it looked like a cold sandwich.
I just don't know if I could get into that, but whatever.
I'd try it. No different than when Christy and I were in Maine and we tried a lobster roll, which is just lobster tail and mayonnaise on a hot dog bun. That's all that is.
Sounds pretty good.
It was, she did not enjoy it. I did. I thought it was good. Look at me. Of course I liked it. It's food. I loved it. So we're going to switch to the Papa Burger and the Green Jacket. So what's this about? Well, as we were sitting around and watching the Masters, this is when this came to my mind. This is really a 6-part deal, because I don't know where the Olympics fit in. And we'll talk about that here in just a second, but I don't know where the Olympics fit in. So I left it out of the equation, but this is really a 6-part deal. What is the most difficult championship to win as an individual? And then what is the most difficult championship to win as a team, high school, college, and pro? So that's where our 6 parts come from. And then where do the Olympics fall in? You know, and obviously you have winter versus you have summer. And then, I mean, we could go down one heck of a rabbit hole, Brandon Schmitz, if we wanted to, when it comes to this. But right now, my thought is, let's have a discussion about where we think the toughest, and this is where it came, I mean, the Masters, and obviously, you know, we talked about this before we came on, started recording, was, for me, looking at how many multiple year winners, and I don't mean back to back, just somebody that's won it more than once, the Masters, out of all the thousands of golfers, is not very many. So is winning the Masters the toughest and most difficult individual professional championship to win?
Yeah, I think it's definitely in the mix. And I think that, you know, golf and tennis are similar to the fact that there are 4 essentially really big tournaments a year. That's their championship. Now, if you talked about winning the actual PGA Tour, the FedEx Cup, you know, is that more difficult because it's basically an accumulation of points for a season? Maybe, but I think what makes those individual tournaments so tough to win is it's a few days, right? And then it's over. So like, I think what makes the Masters so difficult to win is, in this day and age in golf, there are so many really good golfers, and there are so many really good golfers at all different levels, where like a tennis, like I know there's a lot of really good tennis players, but the top of tennis seems to just separate itself. So if you want to talk about tough, if you aren't one of the elite tennis players, chances are you're not going to win a tournament. You can win a golf tournament being the 150th ranked player in the world. Like, it could happen. Like, it wouldn't be the craziest thing ever. But if that happened in tennis, that would be really crazy. So every sport you can probably make an argument for, and people that are fans of every sport would make an argument. I think there's something different about the Masters, because I was starting to watch that Greg Norman 30 for 30 that came out yesterday, and they talked about how many crushing defeats there have been at the Masters, probably the most crushing defeats or you know, just where you just lose it, you know, on that one day and it's over, you know? So I think in golf, that one's different than the rest of them. And I would say that it's one of the more difficult individual championships that you can win in sports.
Well, let's, and I don't know which is the toughest to win in tennis, Wimbledon or the US Open. I don't know which is, which, you pick one and then go and look at how many people have won that multiple times.
Yeah.
And it's different than the Masters. Or, I mean, really in anything in golf, the same guy isn't winning every single golf tournament that he plays in. He's not winning every time he goes out. Whereas a really dominant tennis player, chances are, is winning every time they go out.
Yeah, I kind of alluded to this earlier, but the difference between the best player and the 50th best player in the world, there's not a huge difference. Maybe over the course of a whole season, you see a bigger difference, but one day, that there's not that much difference in those guys. And I think that's what makes winning golf tournaments so difficult, is just because you're the best player in the world doesn't mean you're that much better than anybody else. Where it seems like a lot of those individual sports, the top couple people in the world are generally the ones that find themselves in that situation.
So is that, should that be one of the criteria, is how many people, and I'm talking individual, how many people have won that event more than once? The same person winning it more than one time, and not in a row, but just in general. Does that make it tougher?
Yeah. Does it? See, that's where it gets tough, because if you're talking about, there's only going to be five people that could win the next tennis major, let's say. I mean, realistically, one of these five men or women is going to win this tournament. That means it's really tough for everyone else to win it. Does that mean it's tougher? Or are you,
this is why we're having a discussion.
So, you know, it's kind of, I think it was kind of, I know it's a team sport, but women's college basketball 20 years ago, it was kind of the same thing. Like, you knew what teams were going to be
there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, and now it's different, because there are a lot more better female basketball players than there were 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah. So professionally, are those the only two sports individually? Tennis and golf?
NASCAR?
Is that, where does that fall?
That's, I mean, are you talking the Daytona 500, or are you talking the season point standing?
Or are you talking a different, the Formula One in Indianapolis 500?
Yeah, I don't know enough about that sport, I'll be completely honest with you. But NASCAR, you know, the Daytona 500, again, here's your one day shot of winning something. And there's been a lot of different people that have won that race. But when you talk about the season long point standings, the best ones generally end up at the top, or at least towards the top. You know, you think about Jeff Gordon when he was doing his thing, like, there weren't a lot of people that were going to beat him over the course of the year, but how many Daytona 500 wins does he have?
So that brings up an interesting, that brings an interesting point to this discussion, which I did not think of until right now. And that is, in the world of, let's say, the Masters, we're talking about one event, whereas a team sport, we're talking about a season long and then ending with the championship, which would be more similar to your cup standings and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's it. It's an interesting little difference there when it comes to that discussion. And I had not at all planned on even scratching the surface. I didn't even think of it. So had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's interesting. That's interesting. So can we shift gears here a little bit? Team sport, professionally, toughest championship to win.
Oh, you know, a part of me says the one and done sports are more difficult to win.
You mean
playoff
football?
Time, football.
That's I guess.
Yeah, that would be it.
Everything else is series, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hockey is series. Basketball series.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that would be the only one that would be the one and done. I think those are difficult to win. Now with football, not as many teams make the playoffs either. But I, you know, the what makes those other sports where you could make the argument is like you, it doesn't matter if you're just better than somebody one day. Like in the NFL, if you're better than the team you're playing that day, they're done. And you're moving on. Where basketball, where you start to see maybe not as many upsets, is because that team now has to win 4 out of 7 games.
Well, and we're gonna exclude hockey. We're gonna exclude basketball because the environment and the atmosphere and the weather is all the same.
Yep.
For them. But baseball, you know, you take a look at, let's say the Cubs and the Dodgers are playing one another in October. It's gonna be different weather in Chicago than it is gonna be in LA. And now it's not one day of that weather impacting the outcome of a game. It's now essentially 7 chances of that weather, good or bad, impacting that game.
Yeah, and I think baseball too, the pitching rotation makes it a little bit different. You know, where your rotation falls compared to somebody else's may be different. You know, where those other sports, the only way rotation would be different if somebody was injured.
Sure.
And obviously the pitcher in baseball is such a huge part of the game that plays into it too. Not just the weather, just the, you know, maybe your series before went 7 games and the team you played went 5 and they got to set up their rotation the way they want. It doesn't mean they're going to win, but you know, like that part becomes almost like a variable to this whole thing.
So you're saying, initially, you said that the one and done, so football, mm-hmm. professionally would be the toughest, and then you made a pretty good argument about the series, so the hockey and the basketball and the baseball. So where do you sit?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go toughest team sport to win is probably hockey,
and this is professional.
Yep.
Why hockey?
I think that because of the score of those games and the parity of the teams, I mean, you could have, I bet there's had to have been an 8 seed that's won it or at least been the Stanley Cup finals.
Okay.
You know, a big pool to start with. I think that would go along with what the NBA looks like. But generally, like your 8 seed might win a series, but probably not going to keep winning. Just doesn't happen because they're the 8 seed for a reason. They've already played 82 games, you know, and just like baseball, a low seed can win in baseball. Like if they had every team make the playoffs in baseball and those playoffs took forever, that you would have some pretty big upsets, I think, in baseball. But you only see, what is it, like 4, 5, 6, whatever the number is from each side, you know, not very many. So it's probably tougher to get into the playoffs in baseball than it would be to end up winning that whole thing.
Well, and see, when we moved to college here, that was going to be my argument for, you know, I was going to say football is probably the most difficult because you got to make it in the top 4.
Yeah.
In order for you to get there. And how are you going to do that? I mean, that's a season long deal. So even in the, you know, in those cases, you know, the NFL and Major League Baseball and NBA and NHL, you have to make it into the playoffs in order for you to win a championship. So college, individual, toughest to win.
I mean, I say this as somebody that watches this tournament while the basketball tournament is going on, but wrestling would be tough.
Okay.
I think the difference between a 1 seed and an 8 seed could be pretty low. And there are what, 30 some guys in a bracket to start?
Of course, if you're a wrestler, you're going to say wrestling is the toughest. Now, the one thing that I was a little disappointed in is you did not say from an individual standpoint, even a tag team was winning like a heavyweight championship belt or an intercontinental belt or something like that from the professional wrestling side, but that's okay. It's okay. Cole will probably keep us up to speed on that. Maybe main event at WrestleMania, something along those lines might help, might be up there. But so you're saying individually college would be wrestling.
Yeah, and I think you probably can throw golf into that too, from an individual standpoint. I think team-wise, the same teams generally find themselves in that mix year in and year out. But from a, and you could probably say that in wrestling too, the top five teams are, you have a pretty good idea who at least most of them are going to be. But I just think individually in wrestling, like trying to go through that 3 days of that tournament and not get beat. Like you, once you lose, you're done. You can still be an All-American and do that, but you lose, like it's over. I mean, like Alex Marinelli from Iowa, didn't he win 4 Big Ten titles and never won an NCAA title? I mean, that's pretty crazy, because you think the Big Ten tournament is a tough tournament to win, as tough as any tournament.
Sure. So what about team-wise in college?
I think basketball's the toughest one to win. Now you can also say you have the best chance because you're actually in the tournament. Like you talked about with football, there's only 4. That would be a tough one. I mean, how often do you get your 4 number one seeds to the Final Four? It happens, but not a lot. And how often does a one seed lose before the Sweet 16? That happens. So I think that one's tough just because it is the one night, but it's also the one and done. Like it's over. We're like baseball. You can win a College World Series losing a game, you know, where
you can lose a couple games, can't you, in College World Series?
Yeah. So, the regular season plays into football the most, where that's probably, it's again, probably tougher to get into the playoffs than it is to win it. It's because things have to go right for 13 or 14 games. And if they don't, you don't even have a chance. Like you literally cannot win.
I think that's an interesting one too, because then it, you know, not only are we talking winning championships, but what's the toughest postseason to get into?
I think that would also be another one. That's football, because you don't even get to play your way into it. Besides, like you win games or you could lose, I guess. But then somebody is telling you if you're in. That it's like that in basketball too. But generally, you're always, no matter how many you have in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. Football has 4, and basketball has 68. Somebody's always complaining about the 5th and 6th and the 69th and 70th.
Right. Like, well, that's the same thing. We talked about that before when we talked about when we were on the madness episode was about that. You know, it doesn't matter how much you expand it. Somebody's going to be upset that you're not, didn't let the next one in.
Yeah. But if we're just talking about the playoffs though, like if you take away the regular season, like the postseason tournament, I think basketball is the toughest one to win.
Sure. Which is what makes it so exciting, right? I mean, that's another thing that adds to it, is because it is so hard. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it so much fun to watch. High school, individual and team.
This is maybe going to go off the, out of the normal thinking. I think swimming is the one of the tougher ones to win an individual title in. Now, if you're from a school that is a really good swimming school, you see state champions. But I mean, from a school like Indianola, I mean, if we get a person in the top 8 in an event, we think that's a really good performance by,
you have a multiple kid. State champion in on your swimming team.
True.
Multiple event.
Yep. And you know, that we hope it gets to be more than one person, but you know, like that's, swimming is tough, because yes, there are a bunch of different events, but to win, to be the best swimmer, I think is really difficult.
Okay.
But I think again, Jake Brown would say wrestling, and I agree. There's your another one, or you got to be really good for 3 days. And if you don't perform for 6 minutes one time, like you're done. Like you cannot win.
Now, we obviously talked about this before also, right? When you say that you know, the state soccer tournament is set up in this manner, but all season long you played in this manner, they're not the same. So why all of a sudden is the state tournament set up that way? Isn't wrestling the same thing? When do they wrestle multiple matches in a day, 3 days in a row?
Never.
Never. And so that also adds an element of toughness to it, where you're changing their routine and what normally is done in order for you to crown a champion.
But if you win a state title in 3A wrestling, don't you just wrestle once on Thursday, twice on Friday, once on Saturday if you win it?
Don't you wrestle twice on Saturday? Aren't the semifinals and finals on Saturday?
The semis are on Friday night for sure. I know that because we went to the semis on Friday night this year.
So you're wrestling 1-2-1 if you're in the state championship, but three days in a row.
Yep.
Which and really 4 days in a row if you wrestled on Wednesday at the state team duels.
Correct.
Which there's a great chance you did not wrestle at the state team duels if you have a chance to win a state championship as a wrestler.
Well, we say that, but Ryder Downey won a state title for us, and I'm pretty sure he wrestled all three matches at the state duels on Wednesday.
I think he would be an exception to that thought.
I think he had a really good...
And maybe that's part of the reason, and maybe his approach to team duels and the individual state tournament is what gave him a little bit of an edge there on Saturday.
Well, he got beaten in the duels too by the kid from Bettendorf.
Did he?
Who is good. I think that kid ended up getting beat in the semis, but maybe there is some of that refocus, you know. I mean, that
how
I think
how is swimming,
you know, we talk about the fit, prelims, finals, Friday, Saturday.
So 2 day.
Yeah.
2 day, which is not completely out of the norm for them.
Yeah. Most of the time, I don't think our schedule set up very often where they would swim 2 days in a row, but I mean, not out of the question. No.
And then golf.
What, like golfer
set up individual golf for the, yep, for you to two, win an individual
state two 18 hole rounds.
Okay. And then how about tennis?
So the top eight, I think, make the state tournament. So you have to win three, but I don't know how it's spaced out. We have not had anyone at that.
And then obviously cross country is just one, right?
Yeah.
1 day.
Not yeah.
Multiple I think days of it. It's just qualifying. Then a week later you run.
Yeah. If you're the best cross country runner in the state, you'd want it to be like a season long thing where they like accumulate points, but I'd say from somebody that's like the 10th best runner, I'll take my chance. Just get me into that state meet. I got 1 day that I have to be the best. I think I would much rather have that.
Sure. Sure. And then track, similar, right?
Yeah. And that's, you know, track is there are some prelims and finals and some just finals. You know, track is another one where a lot of times, like, you know who the people are that are going to be in the mix, but you know, when you do have a lot of times, depending on the race, you take the 100, for example, and you're talking about hundredths, maybe thousandths of a second could decide somebody who wins and somebody who doesn't. That makes it difficult, I would say. And then another part of the track is how many events are you in when you're there? You know, are you a multi-event person that's trying to win a title in all those different things? Like, how does that play into somebody that is, you know, going to be in the 100 and the 4x1, for example, a couple races? That plays a role into it. But I really think the mental side of all this is maybe the part that gets overlooked. You know,
well, sure.
You know, it does, like, you get to that part. You know, and they always say, like, at state track, for example, you're either going to run your best time or your worst time. You know, you get into that setting and you either excel in it or you just struggle.
And then, I mean, to be honest with you, the number of fans there also makes a difference,
mm-hmm.
You know, as far as that pressure goes. But so you're sticking to swimming.
I'm going to say swimming and tennis. Tennis is probably into this too, where like, there's so few really, really good people. Like yeah, I don't think you have like an average swim season and all of a sudden you swim faster than the person who's the best swimmer sure. in the state. You know, like I doubt the six seed wins an event very often. You know, like it just, it doesn't happen. In tennis, there's such a difference between the people who play tennis and the people who are out for tennis.
Go out for tennis.
You know, like that, you know, it's really like tennis becomes like the people who win are really, really high level tennis players. And everyone else is just hoping that they can make it into the state tournament. There's sure. a huge difference. For so sure. I think sure. just the top end of some of those sports where it's not, there isn't as much parity, I think makes it more difficult to actually win. But at the same time, like when we talk wrestling, when there are four or five people in a weight class that could win, you could make that argument that that means it's more difficult because there are four people that could win, where in swimming, there might be one or two that are going to win that event. So I think it kind of depends on how you decide what you think is more difficult. Is it more difficult for everybody that's at that state tournament, or is it more difficult for the ones we would coin as the favorites or the best people in that sport?
The top four yeah. or three or whatever. So what about team wise, high school wise in high school? Oh,
this is tough. Man, to win the whole thing.
To win it all.
What class are you in? Like if you're a big school football team in the last 10 years, it's been really difficult to win a state title unless you're Dowling. You know, I mean, how good is the best team? Like if you're 3A basketball this year, a lot of teams theoretically could have won a state title.
Right.
You know, because there wasn't like that one outstanding team. So I think this kind of goes with that individual thing. If it's just a bunch of parity and there's a lot of people that have a chance to win, does that mean it's more difficult or less difficult? I think to me that means it's less difficult because you have a chance.
Yep. I would agree.
Where when there's that, like who has beaten Ames this year in 4A basketball?
When they were all healthy?
Fully loaded. Nobody.
I don't think anybody did.
Nobody. Right? Nobody. I'm not saying they didn't have a chance, but nobody really was going to even test them this year.
Now I disagree, but he got hurt, so I can't make my argument. Right? Council Bluffs, would they have given Ames a run for their money if he's healthy?
I don't know. They played him the year before. Okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, they had two really nice players, but yeah, I think it really depends on what that sport looks like each year. And again, this is, I don't think different between team or individual. Like when there's that one team that is better than everyone else, night in, night out, that's really tough to win.
I agree. That's why I don't know. What'd you think? Yeah. What'd you think of this discussion?
I think it's really tough because the word most difficult or the words most difficult, it can be interpreted so many different ways. But
depends on your personal bias too.
Yeah, if you're talking about standing at the top of the podium, I think if there's one person or one team that is heads and shoulders above those other people, it's going to take a pretty big letdown by that person or team for somebody else to win. Whereas if it's eight people in a tournament that are very evenly matched, you at least have a chance.
Sure.
Where I really don't think anybody had a chance to beat Ames this year.
What I hope out of this discussion is that people realize that there isn't a right answer. There's just, I hope, room for a good or an opportunity for a good discussion about where you're at and all the different factors that go into it. I mean, who's healthy, who's not healthy? You know, is it the Dix kid, right, from Council Bluffs? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he's healthy, where do they finish? And one more three-point basket goes down or, you know, the one kid that was going to wrestle at 220, who got sick right before that duel, would have put those guys in it, and they matched up better with the team that ended up winning it. And I mean, you can go down the list of all the things that could have happened. I thought, as I was sitting there, that was worthy of us having a discussion about some of the more challenging and interesting thoughts when it comes to winning things. Everybody thinks it's really easy, right? Everybody makes it look easy, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah, I think, again, the quick turnaround time in those individual sports, like when we talk about wrestling, like you have to have the mentality, like all those 3 days. You can't let up for one day. But for like sure. We talked about with cross country, like get there and then just see what happens. Like one basically, what, 16-minute race, you know, and let's see if I'm faster than you today or not.
Which is, I don't know. That's what makes it fun, right?
It's crazy. That's why I would say this. It's really hard to win a state title, whether you're an individual or a team in any sport.
I thought you were just going to leave it at, it's really hard to win a state title.
It is, period. Period.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So hopefully we hear from some people. I'm sure there's got to be opinions out there about what's hard. And again, you know, the number one factor is your own personal bias. What are you a fan of? So we're going to move on to the history. Are you ready for this? Ready for the history?
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman by the name of Wayne Carter Holman that is retiring from Norwalk this year. He is finishing up his 45th year of teaching in Norwalk. And that doesn't include how many years he was in Nebraska teaching. And I don't think it was very many, but he was here at Norwalk for the last 45 years. And he is finally hanging it up and deciding it is time for him to retire. So that's our history.
45?
Yep, 45. You're 25 for myself and Chris Larson.
How old are you guys?
Chris is, I think, a year older than I am, I think. I'm 47 right now. So he's got to be 48.
So Carter literally is taught in Norwalk for your entire life.
Yeah, for sure.
That is wild.
Isn't that nuts? Yeah. You think about how many people are in Norwalk right now that are on our staff, K-12, that weren't alive when Chris and I started in 1997.
Shoot.
That's nuts. Nuts. Okay. I have
two. What was that one?
That was the history.
Oh, history. History. Okay.
History.
Okay.
Him and his 45 years at Norwalk. Positive. I have two of them. First, we did Norwalk High School did a career day today, and it was good. We had some alumni come back and talk. Christy got to come in and talk about public relations and things like that. But it was just good to have our kids have an opportunity to hear from a lot, and I mean a lot of different careers and opportunities for them to pick up and maybe learn a little something about all the things that are out there in the world that people are doing. So I thought that was really good. The last one is a book that I finished. It's called Home Sweet Dome. It is 500 plus pages of basically Iowa football history. And I will tell you, from a writing standpoint, it is not very well written. But the information and the stories and the history that's in there is absolutely fantastic and really hard to beat. Home Sweet Dome is what it is. And it basically goes through and it covers a lot of guys, you know, like, Kurt Warner. It'll cover a couple other people, and then it'll cover whole teams and towns and coaching careers and things like that. So there's such a wide range of things that's covered in the book, but it's really good. Not every city is mentioned, you know, not every town is covered. Not every high school is covered. Not every great football player is covered, but an awful lot in those 500 pages. And it's a really good book, and I'd recommend it to anybody. So you got anything from positive?
Yeah, I'm going to go positive. Walker Whalen.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
202 feet, 10-inch discus throw.
Oh, I was really hoping you were going to say like long jump or something like that, just to mess with people. But
fourth all time in the state of Iowa, obviously a school record at Indianola. And actually, it's a 40-year-old school record.
Is it really?
Yeah. I don't know how to say the guy's last name. It's Drost. I don't know if that's Drost or Drost. Jeff Drost, I'll say. Yep, 1982.
That's a little history. That's a history and a positive coming at us.
Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, Walker actually set the school record or broke the school record on Friday at our home meet, threw it 185 feet, 8 inches, and then just throws one 17 feet further, you know, probably, let's say, 15 or 16 hours later in Iowa City. Yeah, 202.10 that's an impressive feat.
That's not high school. That's not high school like.
Third in the country, they said this year, from what they could find.
Unreal.
And honestly, like, I think the best part is when you get to celebrate kids that are good kids, like Walker. Like, it wasn't like this guy's just he's a good athlete, whatever. Like, you talk about somebody that you would want to highlight and celebrate, take the athletics part out of it. Just a good kid that deserves every part of any recognition he gets when it comes to this. And what a throw.
Love it. Love it. Love it. That's a good positive. And a little history in there too. Mm-hmm. So recapping, right? Do animals ever think, you got to be kidding me when it comes to weather? When is cash going to be obsolete? And then can you shrink clothes more than once? And then, of course, you know, we're going to make some changes media, social media wise. And then, of course, you know, we're almost to 10,000 listens, which means a T-shirt from our co-op with our going to be newly appointed social media director and our marketing director, Jeff Craby and Cole Hopkins, coming together and collaborating and trying to get that done. And then if you've got any thoughts whatsoever on this, what's the toughest championship? You know, what are your thoughts on it? Individual, team, professional, college, and in the high school. And give us your thoughts on that. And of course, any other feedback we'll take, and we'll go from there. And, you know, hopefully things settle down for us and we can get more into a routine. But again, I apologize. It's tough right now, especially in the spring with Tom coaching and Lee being an AD and me just being a pile. It is hard to get everybody together and on the same night and getting it done. So we're going to keep coming at you whenever we can. And hopefully it'll be a little more consistent, but that's it. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate everybody listening. This is episode 79, Green Jacket, on April 20th, 2022. I'm Paul Patterson, signing off. Thanks for listening.
And I'm guest host and shoe expert extraordinaire, Lee Nelson.
Closing time. Thank you for listening to the Talking the Walk podcast show. Yeah.